How's everybody doing? Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm very excited today, more so than probably any other days. I have some very old friends of mine that are here. We have a mini Trimble Tech Class of 84 reunion going on back there. So if you hear them like jump up and like bark like a bulldog or something, you'll know why. Hopefully they'll be barking for God. Okay, why would we show an incredibly cheesy trailer of an incredibly cheesy movie as I begin my message? I'm going to tell you why. What we're talking about today is when you're crazy in love. And that clip actually is very near and dear to my heart. And I'm going to tell you why. When my wife Carrie and I met, she's laughing already. It's a funny story. But when we first met, she lived in Louisville and I lived in Southwest Fort Worth. So that already, I think that was like an immediate test of my love for her from the very beginning, because I had to drive from Southwest Fort Worth to Louisville to see her. But early on in our relationship, we had this day. This defining day in our relationship that we call our marathon date, which really it could be called a marathon day, but what it consisted of, it was a Saturday, and she drove from Louisville to Fort Worth early in the morning on a Saturday, and we met at the Rave Theater by Ridgemar Mall, and we saw Stuck on You. Of all the movies that we could have picked, we saw Stuck on You. And yes, it's as bad as the trailer appeared. Has anybody seen Stuck on You? Okay, there's a reason why. If you haven't seen it, there's a reason why. Those of you that have seen it, do you agree with me? It's like a bad movie. And we're on agreement. But that's how our date started. But it didn't matter to me. It could have been 10 times worse and it wouldn't have mattered to me. But that's how our date started. We saw Stuck on You at the Rave Movie Theater in Ridgemar Mall. Then we went and ate lunch at my favorite restaurant on Main Street, not La Playa. I know we have a lot of La Playa fans. Across the street from La Playa, El Asadero is... You like El Asadero? Okay. El Asadero is an incredible, incredible restaurant. Good friends of mine own it. And so it was very special for me to take her to my favorite restaurant where I've been going for years and years and years. And we had lunch there. And I think my sister, Robin? Okay, yeah. My sister, I have to remember. My sister came and joined us for lunch. That was her first time meeting Carrie. And then we spent some more time together in the afternoon. And then later that afternoon, we actually met my sister again because she got us tickets. I paid for them. She just got them for me. Got us tickets to the Dallas Mavericks Los Angeles Lakers game that night at Reunion Arena. No, is it American Arena? Reunion and American. Okay, American. I can't remember that either. But believe, I remember our anniversary, so don't worry. Don't get too scared. I remember her birthday. But then we went and saw the Mavericks and the Lakers. And on the way up there, the seats were decent. They weren't like at the very tip top. They were kind of like second level. They weren't bad. But because I wanted to impress her so much, you know those guys that are standing out there like trying to sell tickets and, you know, all this stuff. So anyway, I was willing to spend, I think it was like $100, and give the guy my tickets to upgrade to get better seats so we could get like down on the floor so we could see, you know, I'm trying to think who's playing for the Mavericks and Jerry Stackhouse, Sweat, whatever. But I was really trying to impress her. So I was going to upgrade our seats, which she quickly shot down. She was like, if you're going to spend $100 on that, you just give the $100 directly to me. And I'll use it for something, which I didn't do. So we get to the game, and we're there watching the game and enjoying the game. And I remember I was going to get her ice cream because she wanted ice cream. and so where we were sitting, instead of like going through my aisle to interrupt the people, I was going to step over my seat because there was nobody sitting there. So as I was climbing over the seat, I didn't fall, but I came as close to falling as you could without actually doing it. It probably would have been embarrassing to me, but I didn't care. You know, I was just like laughing it off and everything, but we enjoyed the Mavericks game. And then after the game, we went and picked up a friend of hers and we went to hang out at just a little hangout type place. Nothing too crazy. And keep in mind, this was 6 years ago. I was a very new believer back then. Pastor Ray, it was a long time ago, a long, long time ago. Many years ago, as a matter of fact. But anyway, we went and hung out with her friend, and we were just sitting there talking. And at this point, we'd known each other for about a month and a half, but we had never kissed. And she leaned over the table and kissed me first, by the way, because I'm a very respectful young man. But that was our first kiss. And then after that, we took her friend home, and I dropped her off back at her apartment maybe around 1 o'clock. And we talked on the phone the entire drive from Louisville to Fort Worth, and then we continued to talk for 6 hours until 7 a.m., so we'd spent all day with each other. We'd done all these things together, yet we still couldn't get enough of each other. And we talked for 6 hours on the phone until 7 a.m. And then I got up and came to church on Sunday. And then after that, I went back to Dallas and met her and her lunch for lunch, her and her friend for lunch again. And it was just crazy to me. That's kind of like our, like I said, our defining day, our marathon day. But when you're in love with somebody, first of all, you'll do anything that you can to be with that person, to talk to that person, to spend time with that person. It doesn't matter how ridiculous it may seem. I mean, when you're in love, you will go to great lengths. And when you're crazy in love with somebody, you just can't get enough of that person. And it's obvious to everyone just by the things that you do. Now, the big idea, do we have kind of like my main point of the message? You know, we kind of summarize everything with one main point. I assume we have it somewhere, but it's on your outline. Kind of like the main point of this message is that when I act out of fear, guilt, or obligation, it feels like work. But when I act in love, it feels like love. You ever notice how relationships change? I was thinking of Ray and Logan as I prepared for this message. You know, I was calling it kind of like an abuelo type of love, a grandfather type of love. Like right now, Logan is little, and I would be willing to bet he cannot get enough of you, Ray. Is that correct? He wants to be around Ray nonstop, 24/7. When Ray's preaching, I know Logan wants to be up here with him. And Logan just loves Ray so much. He just wants to be next to him nonstop. But as Logan gets older, up into adulthood, I'd be willing to bet that that's going to change. You know, and as we become adults, we kind of, our love changes from this love of pursuit to where we're cool with talking to our grandparents maybe twice a year. You know, we talk to them on Christmas, we talk to them on our birthdays. You know, it's not a big deal if we get to see them or not. But I just thought about that. You know, it's kind of that way with God for a lot of us. You know, we start off and we're like, we say that we're crazy in love with God. We can't get enough of God. And then as we grow up, so to speak, in the faith, we kind of grow apart from God. And it's kind of like that grandfatherly type love to where it's no big deal. You know what? I'll go to church on Easter and Christmas. I'll talk to God when I need something. But you know, it's not a part of who we are. We don't have that same emotion, that same feeling of where, you know what, I just want to be with God 24/7. I want to be with God nonstop. I want God to be a part of everything that I do in my life. And it changes. But you know, when you're in love with somebody, have you ever had your friends, like you fall in love with somebody and then your friends are telling you that there's just something different about you now? You know what I'm saying? There's this glow about you. You know, you're in la-la land. It's just nothing matters to you anymore. Nothing bothers you. Like everything's cute. Everything's funny. And your friends, like you're getting on your friend's nerves. It's like, you know, like, God, what is wrong with you? You know, these things used to bother you so much, but now you're like so in love with this person, you've become a different person. And it's okay. But why aren't we that way with God? I mean, why aren't we so in love with God that the people that know us, it's obvious to them because we're different. There's something different about us. There's a glow about us. Why isn't that way in our love with God? For those of you that know me, I'm known to post an occasional status on Facebook from time to time. That's a semi-inside joke, and I hope Ray will forgive me. But yeah, I mean, I'm always, if I could update my status right now, I would, but I'm not going to. But earlier this week, I posted a little quiz, if you will, not a quiz, just a poll. And I asked the question, how can you tell when someone really loves you or when you're really in love with somebody? And I had a good amount of responses, and I'm not going to read them all, but I'll just go through some very quickly. But these are what people that are my friends on Facebook said. This is how I know when somebody really loves me. This is how somebody can tell that I really love them. Betsy, sitting out here right now, Betsy said, when you're willing to lose everything for whomever you love. That's how somebody knows that you really love them. When you're willing to just lose everything, it doesn't matter. A good friend of mine, Gene Huffman, a Diamond Hill graduate, probably around 88 somewhere, he says, part of what he says was, love is more than a word. It's an unconditional caring act of selflessness towards someone. Kind of the same thing. And he said, can I get an amen? LOL. So maybe he can get an amen. I don't know. Jed Hedden said, for me, it has a lot to do with accountability and respect. I mean, if someone says they love me, then I expect them to hold me accountable for my actions, not just towards them, but towards others. Christy Ivory, who's also here today, she probably didn't know I was going to read this, that is self-sacrifice, putting someone else's needs above your own and showing unconditional love. Selena Gomez, also here says, when you talk to someone for hours and hours and hours, and when you're not talking to that person, you can't stop thinking about them, and you can't wait to talk to them again, and you never get tired of them. You're interested in every single thing that comes out of their mouth, and you want to share everything with that person. That's pretty good. Dina's here also. She said, love is when you're empty and hurt and at the thought of losing the one you love. Juan de Leon says, they're still there when you try to push them away or ignore them. Somebody said, actions speak louder than words. David Rojas says, love is always bestowed as a gift, freely, willingly, and without expectation. We don't love to be loved. We love to love. I was like, wow, I like that. Just a couple of more. I think I have three more. Diane Baker, another class of 84 graduate, Trimble Tech, says, from their actions, actions speak louder than words. That's right. That's right. Where's Frankie? Frankie said, love is when you're a cookie monster and you give up your last cookie. I like that one. That's something that would only come from Frankie. But it's also being selfless, right? It's putting someone else's needs before your own. And Russell Alley says, when it's 2 a.m. and you're dead asleep and your wife or husband asks you to go to the store and get them something, if you do it with a smile and a happy attitude, not complaining about being tired, that's when they know you love them. So there's said differently, but kind of a reoccurring theme through everything that everybody says. So I'm going to read something to you from Crazy Love. This is what Francis Chan says on page 100. Chapter 6, he says, when you're truly in love, you go to great lengths to be with the one you love. You'll drive for hours to be together, even if it's only for a short while. You don't mind staying up late to talk. Walking in the rain is romantic, not annoying. You'll willingly spend a small fortune on the one you're crazy about. When you're apart from each other, it's painful, even miserable. He or she is all you think about. You jump at any chance to be together. That's, wow. I mean, that's how we are with people, right? That's how we are in our earthly relationships. In his book, God is the Gospel, John Piper essentially asks whether we are in love with God. And this is like, I'm just like, wow. The critical question for our generation and for every generation is this. If you could have heaven with no sickness, with all your friends you ever had on earth, and all the food you ever liked, and all the leisure activities you ever enjoyed, and all the natural beauties you ever saw, all the physical pleasures you ever tasted, and no human conflict or any natural disasters, could you be satisfied with heaven if Christ was not there? And he says, how many of you will read those words and say, you know, I just might be okay with that? So my question for everybody here is, ask yourself, would I be okay with that? Would I be okay with that? Would I be okay with heaven, with everything I've ever wanted, all the good I've ever experienced, if Christ wasn't there? And if you have to think about it for a second, then your goal actually might be just to do the bare minimum to get into heaven out of obligation, when in reality, all of our goal should be so crazy in love with God that the only thing that we want is to spend eternity in His presence. Now, after the last couple of messages that Ray shared, you may be thinking that the antidote or the cure to lukewarm living is a faith based on fear and guilt. And I hope now that you really realize that the answer is not that sort of faith, but the answer is a faith based on love. And for those of us that say that we really truly love God, I know Ray shared this a couple of weeks ago in 1 John chapter 2. It says it plain and simple that if you claim to know God, if you claim to love God, then we'll do what He says. And if we don't, then we're a liar and the truth is not in us. But if we're saying that we love God, and if you want to know how can you tell, we had some people that say, you know what, our actions speak louder than words. But if you want to know how you can tell, I mean, Jesus gives us a crystal clear answer. This is Jesus speaking. These are the red letters in the New Testament. This is the words of Jesus. And He tells us exactly how we know if we love Him. And the text, I think they're going to put the text on the outline. But if you have your Bible, open it up to John chapter 14. And we're going to start, I'm going to read three verses, starting in John chapter 14. And verse 15 is where I'm going to start. I'm going to read 15, 21, and 23. Again, this is Jesus speaking. Very simply, Jesus in verse 15 says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Not a lot of gray area in that, is it? If you love me, obey my commandments. Verse 21, he says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. Again, this is Jesus speaking. And then in verse 23, he says, Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. That's John 14, 15, 21, and 23. Verse 24, he says, anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. But Jesus is saying, plain and simple, if we love him, we're going to do what he tells us to do. And this is what I found very, very interesting as I was studying for this message. And this wasn't something that I was originally even going to go over. But when I started researching and studying, okay, what does he mean when he says love? Does he mean like really love him? What does he mean? Because there's different meanings of the word love that we find in the Bible. One of the words in the original Greek is phileo, which just means like brotherly love, which that's how we get where we get the name Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, from the Greek root, the Greek meaning. Phileo, which is brotherly love, is used 25 times in the New Testament. That's not the kind of love that he's talking about. Agape love and agapo love is a totally different type of love. And agapo, which that's actually the Greek word that was used here all three times. Agapo love is the verb form of the noun agape. And this type of love is the type of love that is, it's where you value somebody, where you esteem somebody, where you're faithful towards that person, but where you really, really love that person. It's not just like a brotherly type of love. You know, we've all had people say that I love them, but I'm not in love with them. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about loving him. He's talking about being in love with him. Or I love him like a brother or whatever. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about valuing somebody, esteeming somebody, loving so much. He's saying if we really value him, if we really esteem him, then we're going to do what he tells us to do. But agape and agapo, interestingly enough, in the New Testament, where phileo or brotherly love was used 25 times, these two words were used a combined, depending on the translation, a combined 250 times. That's a big range. But what I found as I continued to study, which was even more interesting, the great commandment of love found in Matthew chapter 22, where Jesus is saying, look, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The same love that he's telling us that by obeying his commandments is the same love that he's saying, love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. He's not saying love your neighbor as a brother. He's not saying, hey, be nice to your brother. He's saying value, esteem that person, love them that way, love God that way. Not love God like he's my homeboy, love God like he's the creator of the universe, like he's everything and the only thing that I need. But even more interesting is in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That same love in John 3:16, that same love that God showed us is the same sort of love, the agapo love. What's it saying if we substitute agapo, substitute love with what it means? It's saying that God valued us so much, that God esteemed us so much, that God was so faithful towards us that he sent his one and only son to die on the cross so we wouldn't have to spend eternity in hell. That's like a crazy sort of love. That's God's way of saying, I am so crazy in love with you that I'm going to send my son to walk the earth for 33 years as a sinless, perfect sacrifice to die on a cross to pay the penalty for your sins, for the sins of the people to come, so you wouldn't have to, so you don't have to pay the penalty. That's how much God is saying that he loves us. Also in Romans 5:8, where it says that while we were yet still sinners, that God demonstrated his love for us. It's the same sort of love. And that's what God is saying. He's saying, look, I'm crazy in love with you. I want you to be crazy in love with me. And how you show me that you're crazy in love with me is not by doing things because you feel guilty. It's not by doing things because you're afraid. You know, not by doing things because you want fire insurance. It's by doing things because you love me so much, you value me so much, you esteem me so much that from the overflow of that love, you want to serve me. You want to do what I've told you to do. It's not a chore. It's not work. You know, I've heard people say that in America, that it says that most employers pay their employees just enough so they won't quit. And most employees do just enough work so they won't get fired. And it's probably pretty true. But don't we act that way in our relationship with God many times? We want to do just enough so we don't get fired. Literally. You know, we want to do just enough so we think we don't have to spend eternity in the fire. And that's not what God is saying that He wants. I don't know. I mean, I love reading this right here. And I can't find anything in here that says that that's what God wants. Where God says that, you know what, I've told you to do these things, but if it's too much to ask, no problem. Just, you know, just do whatever and I'm still cool with it. I'll let you snake your way into heaven. It doesn't say that. So what has Jesus told us to do? How can we tell? And again, I'm not talking about perfection. Please do not be misled to say, you know what? Somebody made me get mad yesterday and I didn't forgive them, so I'm not obeying what God says, so it means I don't love Him. I'm not saying that. But we know how we feel in our heart. I mean, when you think of God, when you worship God, you know what's inside of your heart, and you know whether you're doing things. You know, there's things that Jesus told us to do. Going to church once a week to meet your obligation is not one of the things that Jesus told us to do. There's a lot of other things that He told us to do. So don't mislead yourself to think, you know what, I'm good. I go to church every Sunday. You know, I'm cool. Don't mislead yourself to think that. But don't think either that if you ever mess up. I mean, Paul wrote that you know, and this is somebody, a great man of God, that why do I do the things that I don't want to do, but yet I don't do the things that I should do. So we're all going to stumble as we walk. But again, the more we love God, the more that relationship develops from the overflow of that love, we start doing things that God told us to do, that Jesus has told us to do, and we love doing them. So on your outline, there's a self-assessment. And I was such a big fan when Pastor Ray had the self-assessments that I said, you know what, I'm going to use a self-assessment, because it's really easy for us to mislead ourselves and say, you know what, I love God. I'm really doing a lot. And everything here is all biblically based. This is not, you know, I'm not saying that. Most of it's found in Matthew, and number 9, 10, and 11 are actually found in James. They're not Jesus speaking directly. But everything else, for the most part, is Jesus speaking directly. But just go through here, and you can just self-assess. And I said, rate yourself using one of the following, like, nope, never. Like saying, look, you know what, I never do this. This is not me at all. The second one was, sometimes. Sometimes it's me, sometimes it's not. And then the third one is, yep, that's me. That's a part of who I am. So, but I mean, the very first one, do I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind? Is that you? Is that you all the time? Is that you sometimes? Or is that not you at all? I mean, do you value God? Do you esteem God? Do you treasure your relationship with Him? Is that you? Do I love my neighbors as myself? Again, is that you? Am I making disciples and teaching them to obey what I've been taught? That's the Great Commission. The Great Commission applies to everyone that calls themselves a believer of Christ. It's not only to the people persons or the outgoing ones or the sales guys. You know, this is for everybody. So are you making disciples? Wow, this is one. Am I forgiving of others? Is that you sometimes? Is that you all the time? Is that not you at all? Do you like to hold a grudge? Do I feed the hungry? Do I provide shelter to the homeless? Do I give water to the thirsty? Jesus told us that when we do those things, it's just like we're doing them to Him. He's saying when you do these things, it's just like you did it to me. Is that a part of who we are? Do I help clothe the needy? Do I look after orphans? Do I look after widows? Do I look after the less fortunate? Number 12. This is a hard one for a lot of people. Number 12. Do I love my enemies? That's a really hard one to do. But yet Jesus tells us that we have to love our enemies. That's what we should be about. And I said, last but not least, I'm going to add one that's not on here. Last but not least, am I doing what Jesus has asked me to do? I mean, just be honest with yourself. Just be honest. Be brutally honest with yourself. And just ask, be honest. Say, look, am I just giving God lip service, or am I doing what He's told me to do? Am I just talking the talk, or am I walking the walk? I'll tell you, one of the first words out of Jesus' mouth as He began to preach publicly was repent. That's one of the first things Jesus told us to do, is to repent. And when we repent, I mean, we literally make a U-turn from the things that we were doing before. We make a U-turn, we do a 180, and we turn from those things, and we walk. Instead of walking away from God, we're now walking to God. And that's one of the first things that he's told us to do, is to repent. And this is not, again, not to make anybody, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I just want everybody to realize, you know what, if I'm saying that I love God, then let me get with the program and begin to show it. Not a faith based on works, but let me show it, because I love Him so much that I want to do what He's told me to do. I want to stop, you know, Bible tells us to turn the other cheek, but I want to stop turning the other way when I see somebody in need. I want to start being open to the needs that need to be met out there. I want to start loving people the way God has loved me and the way He expects me to love Him. So, I mean, just imagine if you take a look, around right now, and this has been consistent going back, you know, to the beginning of the summer. God is doing some amazing things here at Ways of Faith. I mean, He is. That's just, if you've been here at all, God is doing some amazing things here at Ways of Faith. He's bringing some amazing people here to Ways of Faith. God is blessing us in some amazing ways. It's just mind-blowing to me that God is doing the things that He's doing here at Ways of Faith. So take a look around at everybody here and just imagine, how cool would it be if all of us, every single one of us that's sitting in a blue chair right now, or a hard maroon chair right now, or standing against the wall right now. But how cool would it be if all of us said, you know what? Starting from right now, what if we all got serious about showing God how much we really love Him by doing what He's told us to do? How awesome would that be? What kind of impact would that have on Ways of Faith? What kind of impact would that have on Fort Worth? What kind of impact would that have on Tarrant County? What kind of impact would that have on the kingdom of God? If we said, you know what? I'm not satisfied anymore with just doing the bare minimum. I really want to show God and show others that I'm all about loving God, that I have such an incredible love relationship with God, that I'm so crazy in love with God that I just want to do what He's told me to do. Would that not be awesome if we all said right now, you know what? I'm tired of the same old, same old. I want to be the real deal. I want people to see, when they see me, I want them to see a glow. I want them to ask me, what's different about you now? Because they know that, hey, you know what, who I used to be? I know there's some people here right now that have known me from like way back then that are probably amazed that God is using me to be up here saying the things that I'm saying. But there's that kind of power and strength in God. I mean, God has done things in me that I could have never, ever, ever done on my own. That I would, if it were up to me right now, I'd probably be dead. I'd be homeless. I'd be on drugs. I'd be selling drugs. Or probably be in prison. I would be anywhere but up here. But only by God's grace, God's mercy, and God's love, because He valued me so much, He esteemed me so much, that He said, you know what, I'm going to clean you up, I'm going to make you new, I'm going to give you a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth chance, and a fifth chance. But you know what, Bobby, I want to use you. I want people to see my love for you, your love for me through you. And that same love applies to each and every one of us here. God values each and every one of us that are in here today. He esteems us. He is faithful towards us. Let's show Him how much we esteem Him. Let's show Him, if I messed that up, let's show Him how much we value Him. I'm going to close with this. Man, I'm doing incredible on time today. I'm going to close with this. If you merely pretend to enjoy God or love God, He knows. We cannot fool God, and there's no use in trying. So instead, what we need to do is tell God, just be honest with God and say, you know what, God, you haven't been the most important thing in this life to me. And I'm sorry for that. I've been lukewarm, and I've chosen power. I've chosen money. I've chosen other things. I've chosen other relationships. I've chosen the pursuit of the American dream. I've chosen hobbies over you time and time again. And then ask God to change you. Tell God, tell Him that you want to experience that real satisfaction, that real joy, that real pleasure in your relationship with Him that only comes through the overflow of a love relationship with Him. Tell Him that you want to love Him more than anything on this earth. Tell Him that you want to treasure the kingdom of heaven so much that you would willingly sell everything in order to get it. Tell God what you appreciate about Him. Tell Him what you like about Him. Tell Him what brings you pleasure. Tell Him what brings you joy. But also tell God that you want to fall crazy in love with Him and that you're willing to do it, that you're willing to show it by doing what He's told you to do. And that's it. Just be real with God and ask God to change you. Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your love, Lord. The love that You've shown us, Father. The love in the purest form, Lord, that You just love us so much, Father, that yes, while we were still sinners, that You sent Your Son to die on the cross for all of us, Lord. That You've shown us an amazing type of love, Lord, that can't be found anywhere else. Lord, if there's anybody here that's like I was, Father, that, yeah, I said that I loved you. I said that I knew you, but I didn't show it, Father. I didn't back it up, Father. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here that finds themselves in that same situation, Lord, that they'll just be real with you, Father, that they'll cry out to you, that they'll say, Lord, I can't do it on my own, that I want to love you. I want to love you so much, Father. And some days I do, Father, but on those days that I just can't do it on my own, Father, I want you to help me do that, Lord. Father, I want people that see me. I want people that know me, Lord, to know that I'm all about you, Father, that I'm crazy in love with you above anything else, Lord. Father, I want to be that person, Lord, that does make a difference, Lord. I want to be that person that obeys what you've told me to do, Lord. That I don't want to be passive about my faith, Lord. I don't want to be complacent about my faith, Lord. But I want to be all about living out my faith, Lord. Father, even for those that are here today that say, you know what? I've never been a follower of Christ. It doesn't matter. That same love that God has shown all of us here that have that relationship with Him, that same love He's shown you also. Regardless of where you are in your walk today, regardless of where you are in your life today, regardless of what you're going through today, God is there for you. You know, we're the ones that tend to drift away from God. We're the ones that tend to stick Him in our pocket and only pull Him out when we need Him. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never leaves us. He loves us unconditionally. And yes, He is crazy in love with us. Regardless of your circumstances, regardless of where you are, regardless of who you are, get real with God and just ask Him to help you love Him in a crazy sort of way. Father, I just love you so much, Father. It blows me away to think that the Creator of the heavens and the universe, the one that knows each and every one of the stars by name, also knows my name. It just amazes me, Father, that you have that kind of love for somebody like me, Lord, in spite of all the times where I've turned my back on you. Lord, just continue to speak to each and every one of us, Lord. Reveal yourself to each and every one of us, Father. In return, let us commit ourselves to being crazy in love with you more than anything, Father. More than anything that this world has to offer, Lord. Let us vow and esteem you so much and our relationship with you so much, Father, that it takes priority over everything. That's a part of every area of our life. It's a part of who we are. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We give you all the honor, all the glory. And we love you. And we ask these things in the wonderful, holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.